Yeah, so it's just me. No Lorien for the second week, right? She's that way. Oh, great. And, I'm thinking we could do a little round table because it's a bit of a weird time and, I'd love to join everybody. I mean, it's a kind of, Revolution Radio sort of moment, this, because everybody's on. Anybody want to join me on the, from the host side? Let me just, call in the host. I was just talking to Willow, but she's just done a 2-hour show. You know, mind you, so have I just done a 2-hour show, but at least, I haven't been talking all the time. You see, doing all these radio shows, it uses up all my words. You know, I'm only supposed to have about 200 words a month, and, you know, I think I've used up about 6 or 7 years worth of words from, all these radio shows that I've been doing. Really, it's just sticking me in front of a microphone is never the best idea. So let's just see quickly what's going on in all the chat rooms. Yeah, sorry, I didn't join the Rev chat room a couple of hours ago when I should have at the beginning of Strange Universe. But as usual, there's always things going on. I've been trying to help somebody become a new producer and getting round installing Ubuntu on a spare laptop, which is quite fun, but it's a little tricky, and it takes a bit of mental connection to put it all together. But the more I do it, the more I learn, and the more I can show other people how to do it. And it's a just marvelous thing that you could have an old laptop that is brought to life and more than just revived. It's better than it was, and it turns it into a radio station, so that's pretty good. So let's have a look. Hello there. How do we call in? Right, there's numbers at the top of this chat room, and in fact, if you want to find out the number, the call-in numbers, you type in number into the chat room. And it will tell you 347-688-2902 or 310-421-4053. Both of those numbers will get to me because I've got both of the studios, it appears. But maybe only Studio B. But there's another one. You can also call in Freedom Screen or Freedom Screen 2 on the Skype, that is. All right, so then, I've got my own personal numbers. We have call-in-to-listen numbers, and I can never remember what they are. But, of course, you know, if you're hearing me, then there's no point. You need to have that written down somewhere where you need to be able to access it from your phone. So, so Lorien, what's Lorien doing? Lorien said, please tell everyone... I couldn't find anyone to cover my show today. Please tell everyone I'm in LA filming my show and I'll be back next week. Thanks. So that's where Lorien is. Where I am is that I've got no guest. I was going to take call-ins. I can do Ray readings. I don't know. You know, we can talk about anything you like. Talk about the secret space program if you want. Talk about the origin of humanity. Both areas of my curiosity. time traveling Nazis. I don't know. What do you want? Whatever you want. Call in. And, it takes a little bit of, a kind of prompting to kind of pull the subjects out. But, as soon as somebody's able to ask me a topic, and you know, away I'm going. Yeah, it's very much like a lot of people like Sean. So anyway, yeah. So Maggie Rose, come on then, get in there. So that's 347-688-2902, or you can call in my number, which is 775-773-3431. That's a Nevada number, 775-773-3431. That will get to, Wolf Spirit Radio, which I'll then funnel through to me, and I'll pick that up. So, yeah. Okay, there we go. Hello there. Yes. Hello, Neil. Speak to me. No, can't hear you. Oh, hang on. Hello there.
No, I'm not Skype.
You're not on Skype. You're on a mobile. Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for letting me go on the air. Right. Please, could I ask a very quick question?
Yes. You can ask a very slow question. You can take a nice deep breath and take a slow question. We've got plenty of time.
Thanks. On Wolf Spirits, I know you're on Revolution Radio. You said on one of your shows about the bionic toothbrush in November.
Oh.
And a person with such bad breath as me, I need to get one of these bionic toothbrushes.
Right. It's not bionic. Because that's probably what... It's ionic.
Ionic,
yeah. And you want to look for... Hang on, I'll just... Right, there's answered that call. Oh, click on again. They're ionic toothbrush, and there is a make which is Dr. T-U-N-G, Dr. Tung, or Dr. Tung. Just think of tongue, T-U-N-G. Yeah?
Right.
Marvellous thing. It really, you know that kind of crusty feeling that you get on your teeth?
Yeah.
That is really, that feels like it, like you can look at your teeth, they look alright, but they don't feel alright. This, it feels like pearls. It's lovely. It's, very lovely. There we go. So, anything else, Neil?
Hello, this is Maggie.
Oh, one moment, Maggie, stand by. I'm just talking to Neil, just finishing up.
Just 1 minute. I would like to, inquire about, would it be difficult to train me as a producer for producing radio? Got various PCs that are in disrepair, but I could repair one of them
cool.
as a spur.
Cool. Are you prepared to learn about Linux?
Definitely.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a bit of a novice, but I know about Ubuntu, Linux, and the others. Yeah.
Good. Because it's basically Ubuntu, and you set it up so that you can run inside... You can, you have internal wiring, as it were, virtual wiring. So you can wire Skype and YouTube into your broadcaster, as I do. That's how I play the tunes between you know, if it's not in my own library, which I can pull, it's all, I can get it off YouTube and I can just play a YouTube straight into this system. So it's a very, very versatile. And I hope actually to go on the road. Where are you? Are you sort of, no.
Near Manchester, near in Bolton.
Bolton!
Yeah.
Lovely Lancashire.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So excellent. Thank you very much, Neil. Yeah, how do we get in touch? Get in touch through the, Wolf Spirit chat room. Come into the Wolf Spirit chat room and hang out. Make some friends.
Thanks. One last thing. Do you know that, there are about 4 or 5 alternatives to the Skype function that do the same function as Skype. You can install software and it's the same, but it's not Skype. It does the same job as Skype.
Yes. Well, there's certain reasons that we have to use Skype at the moment, because we've got the Skype network that takes us into the Revolution Radio studio. But I'm certainly, investigating alternatives like Mumble and, Ventrilo. I've got Ventrilo set up, but it's just like, how many people have got Ventrilo? Not many.
Yeah, they need it, don't they?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So anyway, thank you very much, Neil. We'll talk. Thank you for, stepping up. Well done.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
And, hello, Area 1, 541. There you are. Speak to me.
Hello, this is Maggie Rose.
Maggie Rose, how can I help you? How are you? Who are you? Where are you?
I just want to say that I've been, since I came on as a host on Revolution Radio and found out about you, I've been listening to you back in the shadows quite a bit, and I've really enjoyed your program.
So, in the shadows.
So how are you doing? Are you across the pond, right?
I'm, up a hill across the pond, behind the farm, behind the stable block, and, just next to the cow barn. No, I'm not kidding. just by the chickens, yeah.
Yeah, I've only been that direction. I was originally stationed over in Southeast Asia,
right.
In Korea a long, long time ago, but I've crossed over to that side. Once I think I was in Germany for 1 week with the military, and then my daughter was married in England, so I was there for 3 days. But my dream is still to be able to go to Scotland and Ireland as well. So.
All right. Well, I live in a very magical part of Scotland. Well, I mean, most of Scotland is magical, but the place where there's loads of things, like I live near Findhorn, which is like a New Agey centre. I live near Loch Ness. And, Balmoral Castle and Cawdor Castle, you know, both famous, one fictional, and another, quite all too real, like, but there we are. So, you know, there's a lot of history around here, a lot of very, like, famous places. It's just beautiful. I mean, really, the skies are a picture. It's never a grey blanket. There's always some form going on. And shapes, and they're always different, and they're always surprising. So you can just, you know, have your head in the clouds all day. It's wonderful.
Well, there's been a lot that's been going on here on our side, too. You know, years ago, when I first went in the military, and I was on my way overseas to the Vietnam era, and I ended up over in Korea, I realized just exactly how fortunate we were here in the United States of America. But the people here are either so, they've fallen asleep at the wheel, or they're so apathetic, and they're so busy caught up in their iPhones and their video games, they're not really paying much attention to what's going on either here in the U.S. or around the world. And I know for a fact that my ancestors came over from Ireland and settled in Ontario, Canada, before they came down into the U.S. And when I was looking at my family background, I realized that we had some real rebel rousers there that were also standing up for freedom. I mean, not only did I have relatives that came over from England and helped co-found Jamestown Colony and fought in the Revolutionary War and then later in the Civil War, but that I also saw there were a lot of people that I am indirectly or directly descended from or with that, you know, were in both Scotland and Ireland and taking a stand for their freedom there. All I know about my Scottish side is that my great-great-grandfather, Patrick O'Leary, that his mother was one of the daughters of a Lord and Lady Munro. But I haven't been able to find out who they were. I haven't found a first name. I know they're in Scotland. I haven't been able to find a first name, just a last name, and that they ended up moving to the border right between Scotland and Ireland. And that's all I know. I haven't been able to find any other history about my Scottish background other than the last name was Monroe. And would that have been spelled M-U-N-R-O or M-U-N-R-O-E?
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of different spellings because it's a phonetic, and then they write it down, and different people write it down differently.
Right.
I'm not really that much of an expert on Scotland. I live here. I live here, uh-huh. But, you know, I'm not Scottish, obviously. I don't sound
right.
Scottish, do I? You know, I
no,
come from London.
Don't.
it's like, you know, if you want to talk Scottish, there's Gary in the, you want to come to the Wolf Spirit, chat room. we got really, really proper Scottish people there
my son-in-law's from England. His mother's side was from Ireland, and his father's side is English, so he's half and half. And, of course, my grandchildren are born in California. I guess they've got dual citizenship. They're pretty lucky, huh?
Yeah. Well, look, you're really American. Honestly, you're Americans. And, you know, you want to be great Americans, don't you?
Yes.
That's what it's about, being a great American and you know, I don't know, it's a thing about, because, like, we got this tiny country that's called Great Britain. I don't know why it's called Great Britain. Nobody's ever, it's like, what's great about it? But anyway, it's tiny, but it's very bossy.
How much have you been hearing about what's going on with the Bundys right now and what's happening here with the people trying to take a stand for freedom of press and freedom of speech and the right to redress their government for grievances? Have you been keeping up much on what's happening here on the West Coast?
Me personally, I don't keep up with anything. I don't watch the news. But I do know what my friends are saying, and I have friends at Standing Rock, and that's another tinder point as well. So yeah, there's a lot going on.
Oh yeah, there is. Right now, I just got off the phone with Carol Bundy, still her husband Cliven, and her sons Mel and Davey, and Ammon and Ryan are all still in jail as political prisoners in Nevada. They have not been allowed to post bond. They have not had their due process. It's been violated, actually, as we say here in the United States, the due process. I understand that one of the court cases is going to be heard tomorrow, but up in Portland, they're starting to get ready to go into the second group of people to try. Judge Anna Brown is violating the Constitution of the United States by stating that they're going to still try the second group of people under the same charges that they tried the first group, where the jury found them all innocent of all 13 charges, but the government wants to save face. So what they're going to do is that Anna Brown has added some misdemeanors to the second group, and she stated that the jury trial will be on the first 13 charges that the first group were all found innocent of. So the second group is going to come under those same 13 charges. But she's adding misdemeanors, and she alone wants to try the misdemeanors, which is also a violation in trying to set precedent. So people are pretty concerned about it, but we just heard that Sandy and Sean Anderson decided to take a plea so they wouldn't be, you know, tried under and have Judge Anna Brown illegally try them under the misdemeanors, when it should be only a jury trial doing it. So they took the plea, which I guess is basically they have 1 year of probation, and they each have to pay a $1,000 fine, and then that misdemeanor will be the only thing that will be on their record. So they took the plea bargain, and that's the end of that story. But I don't think Jason Patrick and some of the others are going to be willing to take a plea bargain. So they're going to start picking the jury tomorrow in Portland, Oregon, and then on the 21st through the 28th of February is when the government is going to basically be presenting what they consider, they're trying them for conspiracy, which is ridiculous. And then after the end of February, the 1st or 2nd of March is when we believe the defense is going to be allowed to present their case. But right now, everything is stacked against all the political prisoners, not just the Bundys and their group from the Bundy 2014 situation or from the Harney situation, but even the stack is against the political prisoners like Skylar Bordeaux up in Seattle, Washington, and others who have done nothing wrong, but the government will not allow a lot of the evidence that would clear them to be presented. What they're doing is they're saying, you are guilty until you can prove yourself innocent, but we're not going to allow you to present all the evidence that could clear you once and for all. So what do you think about that, my friend?
Well, I hope you do very well in it. I didn't quite follow a lot of that because it's a lot of names that I'm not familiar with. But
right.
I hope you do very well. And because this is the time when, look, it's all the people are taking matters into their own hands, and that's the good thing.
Yes. So what do you think about what happened when the situation took place in Britain or in London, England, and throughout the United Kingdom there, when people were standing up against the European Union? Do they have any idea how many of us here in the United States were cheering them on and were so proud of the people there in England for taking the stand that they did to say, we want to keep our sovereignty, we do not want to be ruled by the European Union, and they stood up to them?
There's going to be civil issues between everybody all over the planet now. Because half of Britain really didn't want to be anything to do with the EU because, you know, they recognize it as the German sovereign empire. But, we don't want to be under that. And, you know, we know who Angela Merkel is. And, so we don't want any of that. So, a lot of people recognized it. But the thing is that the press labeled everybody as, you know, just exactly as they labeled the Trump supporters as, you know, racist and all this stuff. So, although I was in support of, Brexit and in support of, Trump even, because I was certainly not wanting, Hillary anything to do with it. There we go. There's Buzzman. Everything turned out really surprisingly, because I normally expect my politics to be the opposite of whatever gets voted in. So, it was very bizarre. So, thank you very much for calling in, and good luck with your cause.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you. And I am now joined by Buzz Machines, Russell, how are you, mate?
I'm doing good there, JP. I thought I'd jump in here and...
Listen to that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, what you're listening to is a highly compressed microphone. It's through probably a valve preamp. Speak for us, my friend. Speak.
Will do. Very good. I thought I'd jump in here and say hello and see what was going on here and blow away a couple minutes if I, you know, could, and, bend your ear or listen to what you have to say and have a good day and enjoy the calm before all the storms or whatever.
Brilliant. Is that a bit of, artificial reverb as well? Or is that the room ambience?
A tad of processing in here. I'm using just a Behringer type of thing here that you can actually set. So it just kind of it's a hint, but you really don't know it's there. But it's there.
I can hear it. I can hear it on my cans. But so that's cool. So there we go. So how are your preparations for being able to produce shows going?
I knew that was coming.
You know it was coming. Well, you called me up, didn't you? And like everybody's calling in saying, oh, can I do production? Yeah, you can. Yeah. And then, and I have to say, you know, let me just introduce you, Russ, because, you're listening to Russ or Buzzmac, because he sells buzz machines. That's what it's about. And, he's a ham radio operator, professional radio, enthusiast, over many years. And, he's one of the people who've, decided to step up and stick their heads into the oven of radio production. It really is a head fryer. Some people need a week's rest to get over their 2 hours of show. Because it's a psychic head nip, you know, people.
You set up a pretty good example of all the things that a person can do as far as getting over their head.
Yeah, that's right.
In winding the clock, getting 36 hours out of a 24-hour day. That's really great.
That's right. See, time travel. You know, that's how you do it. It's like the fifth dimension. You know, Doctor Who's TARDIS is like bigger on the inside. Well, we have more time on the inside of our radio station. I don't know how it works.
If we're all time travelers, we have great programs every day. Have plenty of time to put them together.
So this is great. So that's really cool. So maybe we can get you to do some jingles with that super sexy voice of yours now. Look at that. All right.
Well,
what do you think, ladies?
It's a talk is cheap. It takes time and a lot of dedication to do that sort of thing. And people, people really don't realize how much there is involved in producing stuff. I mean, I've been looking into the stuff. I mean, a musical background helps a lot. Mm-hmm. Understanding PAs. I mean, this is all the stuff that you've done. That, matter of fact, this is what drew me to the Wolf Spirit Radio is hearing your background, on all the things from music to radio production to sound production, writing, reading. That's one thing gift that you really have. You can read really good.
Oh, thank you. Do you know why? Do you know where it came from? Because I had to read in the synagogue when I was a child. Because there were like only about 5 people turned up to the services, so like they always pushed me up on there. Even I was 13 years old. There's nobody else here who can read. You know, nobody could see and everything. So they pushed me up on the stage, and so I had to learn how to read the difficult. You know, reading a Bible is really tricky because it's like and he soareth and he runneth and all that stuff. So I learned how to read that without ever reading it, by just opening a book and being able to read it. So, I think it's held me in good stead for reading the Andronicus transmissions, which require me to spontaneously, emotionally dive into a character without even reading the script beforehand. Because the script hasn't even been written before the show's, the opening credits of the show roll,
It's amazing. It truly is amazing. I mean, I'm in awe that you do that so well. It's a skill and it's not only a skill, it's a gift.
It grows.
And the fact that, you had that earlier, experience to actually exercise, and surprisingly, you got to use it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
yeah. It was
everything. it's really weird because everything, you know, because my parents used to listen to Radio 4. BBC Radio 4 has the best speech in any radio station anywhere. They pronounce all their words. They cross their I, they dot their I's and cross their T's when they speak. So, even though my parents didn't speak much to me, this radio spoke in my head, and that's how my accent came out. Because the people where I grew up, they all speak like that. You know, it's like, well, no, I mean, you know, like that. So, but it didn't happen that way. So
it's one of your characters.
Yeah, that's where my characters come from. They're my family. Yeah, it's my, you know, uncles and aunties. Anyway, listen. Hang on a second.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's something's brewing in the background. I think that's Studio A. I think we'll dump Studio A and we'll bring it in a little while. While Studio A's cooking on its half hour break, we'll bring in a Stardust Man. Hey Daryl, how are you, my friend? Unmute. There we go.
Exactly. I'll hit the unmute button at the same time you said that.
Because there is a certain time delay. You think they're muted. There's nothing, you know, nothing else. Either they're muted or they're broken down, but they wouldn't call in, so they're muted. So, well done. How are you, mate?
Yeah, the time to find your unmute button, right? Anyway, I have had something, I don't know why it's been... triggering on my mind about Mardu, the potholes on one side of the moon, and a whole bunch of stuff, and Mars, especially Mars.
Okay, lay out your scenario, bro.
Okay, it's just like. I see all this stuff, you know, the potholes on one side of the moon, like if Marduk was blown up into pieces and it went flying off, and Mars was like really nearby and it took its atmosphere along with it when it went on by it, and which would pothole the one side of the moon because that's the side that was facing it at the time, and the thing about all this is seeing this or hearing all this stuff and stuff about the Martians. The main thing that I want to ask the question about is I don't want to know what you have heard. I just want to know what you feel about there being Martians still not really on the surface of Mars, but like under the surface and in a you know, like a bear hibernates, like in hibernation chambers, and our secret so-called space program been on Mars for a long time now, and they watch, they know they're there, and they actually monitor them and watch them to, you know, as a first alert, you know, to watch if they wake up. So they have like guards there that, you know, kind of like when I was in Korea, the North Koreans, you know, dug tunnels under the border and just so happened, a South Korean soldier was next to a pond. He saw ripples in the water and there was no wind to cause them. And that's how they found out that they were digging a tunnel under, because the explosions underneath digging that tunnel, under their border caused ripples in the water, and they dug an intersecting tunnel in there. And when I went there, you know, that was like a tourist thing, you know, propaganda tourist attraction, I guess you'd call it. And at the very end where the border is, there was a guard there, and he had a phone. And, like, and if they were to come and try and cross through that tunnel, he's supposed to grab that phone and ring them. So that's kind of like the same thing as these people we're supposed to have there, and they're like the same thing, you know, they're like warning us if they see him wake up. Do you have any, have you ever heard of that, or what is your feelings about that, over?
Wow, good question, Daryl. But while you've been talking, I've been trying to get Studio A back on the call, and it's not doing it, which means I've got to restart the whole damn thing again, and you guys have to call me back. So if you could do that, thank you very much, because I've got to get Studio A back on the online. I'll be back in a second, guys. Just call me back. Yeah. Count to 30, and I'll be back. And so, no, it's not that. All right. There we go. That seems to be better. All right. Russ, can you turn off your video? Because that's going to take up the bandwidth, if that's cool. Excellent. Thank you. All right. Yeah. So, meanwhile, we now let me bring in our other caller, Stardust Man. I had him just a little while ago. And what we'll do, he was – do you have any – do you have any comments on Stardust Man's conversation?
I'm
there?
Sorry, the person you were trying to reach has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. There he is. Let's bring him in. All right, there you are, Daryl. There you go.
I don't know if my question went up there or not.
Well, do you want to kind of give us a nugget nutshell of this question so we can throw around? Because basically the commercials were running on Studio A, so people didn't hear the question. So can you give us like a nuggetized version, and then we'll see where we go from there?
Yeah, like I said, I was stationed in Korea in the Army, and got to visit one of these propaganda tourist sites, and it was a tunnel that the North Koreans had dug under the border, and the soldier noticed a ripple in the water, which made them realize that they were dynamiting underneath the ground, and they dug an intersecting tunnel, and then they had a guard at the end of that tunnel. At the border, you know, the South Koreans did, and used it as a post that if they should, North Koreans should ever come try and invade, you know, come through that tunnel, that it was like a warning, you know. So he had a phone right there, and all he had to do is pick it up and say, hey, they're coming. Okay, and from where our stand is, and on Mars, and from our stand, you know, we've had a base up there for a long time. And from our stand, when Marduk got blown up, and which is now what is known as the asteroid belt, and which is also the explosion, I guess. I want to say implosion, but explosion from that planet pelting one side of the moon. And why one side of the moon has all kinds of craters and the other side of the moon does not. And that the Martians survivors went underground and went into like a stasis. And from what I understand, the claim is that they are in a stasis right now. And when our undercover secret space program, government, military, whatever you want to call them, first went there, they found them in the stasis, and they have people watching those stasis pods of the all, supposed to be a whole bunch of them, and they're watching them, and they have like the same thing. They're, you know, they are there. I mean, they carry on their normal mission of doing whatever they're doing up there, but they also have certain people that are sitting there watching those pods, watching them to see if they activate, if they wake up. You know, so their job is to notify everyone here that they're waking up if they wake up. Have you ever heard of that story before? Over.
I haven't. Indeed. Sounds fascinating. The story is that Mars was a moon of Maldek, and when the Pleiadians attacked Maldek, they went for Mars and they destroyed the. It was the, you're only supposed to EMP. They were only supposed to EMP the airburst over the base so that it would knock out the base and stop the base from sending the signal. To the main Maldek base so that they could sneak in, basically to blindside them. So, but the problem is that Mars had been fracked and the atmosphere, as it still is, was volatile and full of hydrocarbons. And the EMP set that alight. And that's what killed Mars. So it wasn't.
I heard a lot of information from Randy Kramer off of YouTube.
Yeah, tell
that
us,
sort of thing.
Tell us what Randy's been saying.
Yeah, Randy Kramer is actually one of these 20-year in and out type thing. I think that's what it is. Seeker Space Program, and he was actually moved around from different spots and that sort of thing. And I think that's one of the areas he was involved in was the Mars. Project or a portion of it. And, if you, do a YouTube on Randy Kramer, Daryl, you'd find a lot of that information, to, get you up to speed on at least what he knows. And he's one of the later, people that are letting all the information out. So with that, anyway, that might, give you some pretty good leads on. And at the same time, you can get feel a little more comfortable about what you know by his confirmations.
Well, as far as, you know, us having bases up on Mars, you know, and people who's, you know, like I was in the military. I had to go to Korea for a year. So I served, I guess, I consider serving time in Korea for a year. And, people that, supposedly serve time on Mars and, two people like everyone, I mean, at least everyone that would be listening to this station on a normal basis, would be familiar with would be, Laura Eisenhower and, the other, Barack Obama. Surely you heard that. Over.
Oh, yeah, I've heard a lot about a so-called Barack Obama being on in the time thing. What was that, Basagio?
Andrew Basagio. Andrew Basagio. Yeah. And also William Stillings, who's been a regular guest on my show here. And the story is consistent, is that they were all together as kids. It's Fringe. You know, we live in the Fringe universe. Most of Fringe is real. And these kids who were like, you know, put through time machines and, oh, was that you?
Yeah, yes.
They were put through these time machines because the field was small, so they couldn't put an adult through, without losing bits of their fingertips and stuff. So they used to send little kids, and, you know, to get kids just before that pubic growth spurt when they were quite small, but still quite intelligent. And they would, send them through, very, you know, sort of the 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds. And they were very precocious, of course, and sort of highly charged, very intelligent, kids who have turned out, you know, one of them, who's the lady from DARPA? Regina Dugan. She was on that project. William Stillings, and Bashar Joe and Barry Sotero, who later became your last president, your previous president.
Yay.
Yay! We all say.
Hey, JP, I think maybe that woman sparsh might have affected your mind when you said vagina.
Yeah, Regina Dugan. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, there's a bit of a, what they call a Freudian slip that, you know, you might not think too much of them somewhere. Anyway, meanwhile, we've got all these people who have, been on time travel programs and they were kids. That was then. You know, what have they done since? You know, they must have the whole thing down to a T, down to a science, down to a button, you know. Where do you want to go, sir? 1947 again. I want to watch that spaceship crash. You know, what do you think they can do with time? They can probably turn it into a pretzel. And that's what I believe the Nazis have been trying to do, to try and buy themselves time to build up even stronger. Multidimensional realities. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, there's a lot of people that are actually coming back, and doing some changes now. I mean, whether you believe that or not, I personally, it's still kind of hard for me to understand or even fathom how they do it. But the more and more I look into it, I think it's the frequencies and that sort of thing. If you can duplicate the frequency of the moment and that sort of thing, that's part of the clue to how to time travel. So I'm still looking into it.
It's so to far, do with that. Yeah, it's make, to do with frequency, but it's also to do with your connection with the galactic center.
Okay, now do you happen to have their number?
I'll see if I can find it in my
in my
Skype contact list, or in maybe my Mumble list, or you know, whatever. What? So, go ahead.
I kind of think that maybe, you know, the ones that have been holding the reins for a while, you know, they've been trying to hold us down because they know that once our, the little trigger that's in the back, like when our pineal glands get activated and our DNA gets activated, like which is happening right now. And like right now, I think they're just shits in their boots right now because they see that we're waking up and they know that their time has come to, you know, they're going to come into the other end of karma, you know, and they know that it's over, you know, because the whole world is waking up and they are just like in this, oh crap, what am I going to do now? You know, I'm old, you know, over.
So, sorry, it's just what I was taking in the chat room. I don't know. It's just the thing. It's like somebody called genius. Yeah. Anyway. So listen, meanwhile, back at the secret space program, there's so much, that has been, dead end. Say somebody say something because my brain.
It's a very deep well.
Yeah. It's like this.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah.
Oh, he's got to see. We got more. More people with jingle machines, which is great. I really, so we can have like a.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
What's this one here? If I only get it to work, you know. Yeah, right.
There you go. All right. You got a fascinating.
But no, this whole thing, I've been following this secret space program. I mean, I've actually been reading all the stuff from Corey Gooding, mm-hmm. or how you pronounce his name, and following that and keeping my own library together on it and trying to keep up on that end. And like I say, the Randy Kramer stuff and the Elena Kapolternik and, you know, the different people that are all pretty much have the pulse on all this stuff. And it's, you know, the funny part about it is there's a thread that goes through the whole thing of consistency. And, when they bring it, I mean, after you start watching these people and, everyone who's, involved with them, you actually realize that, you know, they're saying stuff and it's all matches up with what everybody else is saying that are from these programs. And now either they're doing their homework real, real, real well, or, you know, it's the truth. <You know? laughs> And so with that, it's no telling where we're going to go next year. And, the advent of the internet and the alternate media that we have now at our hands through either YouTube or the different, subscriptions you may have to whatever. You can pretty much, if you're into knowing how to search for stuff, you can find out one heck of a lot of information. And I'm still digging and amazed that I haven't gotten near the beginning of it all. So as it goes, the world has a never ending story here. And if things pan out here, as far as we ever get disclosure, sort of thing. Oh, we're in for a heck of a ride. And another thing too, with the unfolding of all the patents that are going to be released here soon. That's major, major, stuff as far as actually changing, the neighborhood and our ability to make a living again and that sort of thing. So, and, Jetsons, here we come, you know?
Well, I very much hope so. Go on, Russ, Darryl.
I just want to say that, all these different sources and what's real, what's not real. I had someone, I work with, just recently, like within the last week, mentioned to me about, you know, he sees all this stuff on YouTube and stuff, and he says, you know, what's real, what's not real, and he mentioned one particular thing, and right off the bat, you know, I told him my opinion that, I believe that particular thing right there is disinformation, and I said, you know, there's many good YouTube videos out there that is very good, and they're to the point. And there's many of them that look like they're very good to the point. And then he says, how do you tell the difference? I says, you need to, the most important thing to be able to tell the difference between them is you need to, there's three tools, or whatever you want to call them, that you have been given. Your gut, your heart, and your mind. And you need to use those in combination with each of them, and you will feel what is real and what is false, and you need to use that to tell what is real and what is not real. Over.
You know, if we had an opportunity to find out actually what would happen if we had our DNA activated, all of our DNA activated, that in itself would be a topic, you know, to actually dwell on, to figure out how, you know, what would you want? What would you expect from your DNA? I mean, I don't know. What is this, 12 strands or is it more than that? JP, do you know more about that?
Well, according to some guy, right, called Simon, I've got all 12 strands, activated, or even 13.
That explains everything, man.
I don't feel any different. Well, maybe I do. You know, I can, I, I got a really kind of turned on sense of like everybody listening, you know, I can feel like waves of energy as people, people have, I can feel the way things are moving in the chat room. You know, you can almost feel that. It's like, almost like if I had, like little braille lines that were going along between, below each finger. So there are all these different inputs that were going into each finger. There's like braille was running past the tips of each finger. It kind of feels like that. There's lots of information coming in. The more you can step away from it and not be emotionally drawn in by any of the dramas, the more you can process it and keep it flowing rather than exploding. Cause at that level, any kind of turning towards selfishness or anything like that, will result in a huge explosion. Even the smallest thing that you think has, implications and ramifications. It's very strange.
Well, then the service to others probably helps you,
right.
Yeah, allows you to continue to not dwell on ego and all the, get tripped up on the gifts from service to others.
Yeah. And really what it sounds like is like the things that I want to do, somebody will ask me to do for them. So I get to do what I want to do and I get to do it in service, which is great. So everybody wins, you know, and I'm able to express my curiosity and creativity, which I enjoy doing. I like being inventive. And, it also means that the person is served by that. I was thinking back. Go on, Daryl.
I was gonna say the service to others, that just really, that's, I'll pick up on the other side.
Finish your sentence quick. All right, we'll see you on the other side of all these different stations. Hang on, there's gonna be another station coming in. All right, now you see, because we're still not disconnected from Studio A. This is such a complicated thing. And then, anyway, so I'm going to have to restart the call after all this because I can't bring the stations back in. That's not going to work, is it? No. Anyway, yeah, call failed there. It's typical. So we'll see you all after the break there, and I'll try and connect all the different stations back together, and we'll have Buzzmack and we'll have Stardust Man. And, maybe we have you. Maybe you will call in. You know, you who is listening. 775-773-3431. Or, in the UK, 0141-356-4141. 0141-356-4141. In the UK. So where is that little guitar? There it is. Engage anionic thrusters. Disengage the chameleon circuit.
Warning, warning, warning.
Oh, God, you broke the bloody glass thing. Oh, God. What are we going to do? It's great. I love sound effects. I really, you know, there's a thing. I mean, a lot of people don't know about this, but on Thursdays I do this kind of, it's almost like it's getting like a radio play. We were talking about it a bit before, the Andronicus transmissions, and you can hear them on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, Studio 9 Jam. And, as I was saying, you know, I get these Word documents at the beginning of the show. We introduce the show and I start reading them and that's it. There's no rehearsal. And I do all these different voices. And what's happened is that, there's so many people who are like fans of this thing now, after 70 episodes that, they've started building a website around it, and we've got AndronicusTransmissions.com, There's a fan club, which is called Clandronicus, and it's starting to get a bit interesting because a lot of the people who are being drawn to it are also part of people's memories in past life recollections. That's where it starts getting really interesting. So that's what we do on Thursdays. And, you know, I use some of these sound effects. Certainly, each character has their own theme tune. So, this is one that I use. This is for a larger than life character called Borkum. Borkum's all going, yeah, like that. Yeah, great. It's a bit like Boris, you know, he's Boris Johnson, it's Borkum, yeah. No, he's more of a kind of Brian Blessed, I punched a polar bear kind of fellow, is that. And then there's Metis, who's, he's a kind of medieval troubadour, and, he goes around and is very charming and has, lots of women, and you know he's a backdoor man. He has affairs with loads of women and things like that. He's a rogue. He's very handsome. He's very talented. He's very funny. So he kind of gets away with it. Roguish fella. So I got all these characters that I just read off the top of my head. It's insane. It's just absolutely crazy. Because it ties in with reality. It ties in with our history. It ties in with all sorts of stuff. So it's got to the point when now, one of the people who have been listening to it, has started to edit the transmissions into separate podcasts, you could say. Because, you know, it was part of a 2-hour show and it would be like, you know, 10 minutes, 15, 20, 30, half an hour reading or something like that. So about 10 minutes per character. And we've built up to about 10, 15 characters who, you know, from the pool usually get about 5 or 6 messages, you know, per show. The main one is a character called Andronicus. And so the first few, transmissions were from this character Andronicus. And that's why it's called the Andronicus transmissions. And then he brought all the people that he met along the way and all part of his journey. Anyway.
Well, you know, with all those sounds there, it really brings everybody into the realm of it all. So, and sound effects are really effective.
Yeah.
I found a lot of this stuff here. I've been putting together a library here and some even movies, you know, you can, if you want to, you get with these downloaders that are available with YouTube and then the YouTube converters and that sort of thing. You can, get that little snippet out of the middle of a program or
frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
You know?
Yeah. That's
okay. Or whatever.
Yeah, I do that sort of thing. What was the one I got the other day? I just got a really over the top. It's from Babylon 5. You remember the TV series Babylon 5?
Vaguely, I wasn't a fan of it back then, but I was a musician back then.
Yeah, I tell you, if you get a chance to watch Babylon 5, I've got a torrent for it. If you get a chance to watch Babylon 5, it's just superb in. Because it's talking, I'm looking for the particular quote. So I've been watching the whole series because I'm looking for this like one episode that has got this kind of quote where they're talking about fake news and real news. And it's just like, I'm thinking, God, this is today. You know, this is back in the 90s and they were talking about this stuff today. And they were, you know, they were showing, you know, behind the scenes of a false flag event. They were showing what it's like to see the press slant your words. It's just superb. This is particularly sort of halfway through series 4, once Sheridan is back from Zahadum, And so episode 8 or 9, when it starts to get like that.
You're a walking psychopedia, I tell you.
I tell you, I'm just a nerd. I'm just a bloody nerd. It's like, but it's like, it was a real world. And I watched a whole load of them back in the 2000s because I had nothing else to do. I lived in a trailer. And it was very boring of an evening just by the RAF airbase, Kinloss. So I was just sitting in a trailer and I used to watch, cause I didn't have a proper TV, but I had a VO player, and in the local shops, for some reason they had this, this bargain bin that had these Babylon 5 videos for £1 each or £2 each. So I used to buy a whole bunch. Because it was cheaper than renting, you know, it was like £3 to rent a video, so I could buy like a few of these, enjoy a good evening's watch. Go ahead.
How much is a pound compared to US dollars?
It's about the same now.
About $1.24, isn't it?
Yeah, about, that's what it used to be, you know, like, back in the day. Anyway, it's like a couple of bucks, you know. I got these videos and I got a whole stack of them, and it was this whole series called Babylon 5. And although I didn't watch it at the beginning, in the 90s, because I had other things to do, like being in a band, and I thought it was a bit, I saw it and it looked a bit sort of like a John Wayne thing, and the people saying, the hell I will, and it rubbed me up the wrong way when I first listened to it. But when I came back to it, having watched all these videos of it, I was hooked into it. I mean, I think J. Michael Straczynski is a genius. He tapped into something really, very, very primal in us all. And it's great. So it was set to be 300 years in the future. It was actually set to be like 20 years in the future. You know, given the idea that we have a secret space program, and there's probably some kind of involvement in time travel as well, because the whole thing's about time. There's a time traveler, the idea, if you want to create a profit, you send someone back in time.
Well, that secret space program thing has been going, I mean, literally going since, what I understand, the late 60s. So I mean, off planet stuff. So with that, so you can imagine, they say everything that we watch on TV, these space programs are all that they are now.
Yeah, they're documentaries. I know, and Star Trek in the day was a documentary, but the thing is, it was Nazis. It wasn't Americans. Well, it was some Americans, but
Kurt was a Nazi.
Yeah, that's right. Captain Kurt was a Nazi. You know, Captain Kurt was a Nazi. That would make a great song, wouldn't it?
I wanted to mention like in the middle of when you were talking about Babylon 5 and all that. I can't remember whose show it was on. I'm quite sure it was a Roundtable, and I'm not sure if it was Monty Dean or Chair Bear. I'm thinking it was probably Monty Dean. A caller that called in, and he nailed it, just super nailed it, and was doing the impressions of the Xylons. He nailed it. He nailed it. I don't know if anybody out there in chat can recognize that. Anyway, he nailed it. Over.
And so it begins. Well, that one. of course, as well as these, push button sound effects, I've got this other thing, which gives me extra alien voices.
And this is one of our favorite voices, because it makes my voice sound very, very comical. I don't know why. Maybe it's the slight delay in my headphones. I don't know why. But it makes it a little more sing-song. And this is the voice of Eric, the alien.
what that immediately makes my mind trigger into remembering is the Christmas show. well, I can't remember his name. He used to be the producer for Sean when Sean first came on from Bulgaria.
Peter Petrov.
Yes. And then the Christmas show, and I can't remember the name of the elf, but you know, he used that voice and came on his show, and he like totally freaked out. He lost it. He totally lost it. I mean, I don't remember if any of y'all heard of that show, but that memory of that is like stone nailed into my mind. You know, I remember that very well.
Somebody put Eric into a blender. Somebody get him out of there. See, now in the chat room in Wolf Spirit Radio, everybody's screaming, Eric, yay! So, maybe we could have a little question set. Any questions for Eric? And I basically make up crap off the top of my head, but it might be funny. Okay, so, this is time,
Okay, it's now time to play Ask Eric! Yay! I've had far too much helium. Anyway, so, any questions? Ask away. Don't be shy. Somebody's going to ask me a question.
Are you an inverse alien or a reverse alien?
We are an alien collective from your perspective. Of course, we are normal from our perspective. Was that too difficult to understand?
I'm over here. I'm glad I got a mute button on this thing.
So, next question. This is Eric's show. He has taken over. JP Goldboard, he's off in the kitchen making tea. And I've snuck up to his studio using his special mic. Quick, come on, ask a few more questions before he comes back with his cup of tea.
Are we all around you, or are you all around us?
We exist in small pockets of hyperspace, space-time. We are everywhere and nowhere all at the same time. Does that answer your question?
Is the answer to that, we are all one?
We are all one, and you're all one, but that makes us all one.
So why is the number one, one? Why is the number one not zero?
Because it's one. Anyway, there's some questions in the chat room. I would just like
it looks like Craig's got a question there for you. When was the last time you had sex, Eric?
1947. It's only 2045 at the moment, so it's not that long ago. Anyway, we don't actually have sex. We bud and multiply in that form. So, the idea of girlfriend, boyfriend, the whole thing, that doesn't work either. We are all Eric, you know. We love each other much as you love yourselves. Or as much as you should love yourselves. Because you're all one as well, but you don't realize it. You just look all different. We look the same because we are all one.
This is, here's another question. When does the prescription medication run out?
Your prescription ran out last week, and you really should go to the doctors and get a new form. You ask, what galaxy do we come from? We don't actually come from a galaxy per se, because we are from a unified dimensional reality, where galaxies, universes, solar systems, planets, and all systems are in fact a single energy expressing itself into the multiverse.
Do you have any relatives in inner Earth?
We are everywhere and nowhere at once. We can be whenever, wherever we desire. We're here on your radio show, for instance.
Do you have any favorite artists?
We enjoy art. We particularly like the color red. And we enjoy art that has lots of red in it, mainly because we can't see blue at all.
Apparently you don't, do you listen to blues?
We can hear blues, but we can't see it, yes. Any more questions?
Can you see into the future?
Time is a single entity expressing itself into the multidimensional reality as forwards and backwards as you perceive it.
You wouldn't happen to know who's going to win the fifth race at Belmont, would you?
Someone with a horse.
Does that horse have four legs or three?
Seven. But three are invisible, so it's okay. It won't look weird. More questions?
Do you drive a Pontiac?
We don't need to drive. I told you before, we exist in a multidimensional blah, 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 blah. Maybe anywhere, anywhen, wherever we like. Where do we, you know, we can go to the beach. We can go to the forest. We can go to the shops. Whenever we want. We don't need a car. What do you need a car for? Why do you need to burn oil? You can just teleport. Can't you, humans?
Got a question. If you're going on your way to somewhere and there's a really strong, super strong gravitational wave, do you have to deviate or do you just go right through it?
We exist outside of your time-space, gravitational time-space matrix field thing. We would drive straight through it. It wouldn't matter. We would try to avoid hurting anything.
Do you use deodorant?
Since we sweat from a single spot, no. The question in the chat room, are you a vegetarian? It depends, because some of our vegetables are actually protein-based. One moment. Mr. Rowe, I believe. Oh, and by the way, vegetarian or breatharian, it's the same hole. No, we don't eat bread. Don't like
Avatar.
Bread.
Avatar.
Avatar, Avatar.
You sound familiar.
We
are Rowe. What do you call yourself?
Eric.
Eric, are you of the Eric Continuum?
Yes.
We are of the Rowe Continuum.
Hello.
Pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you, too. You are aspects of the One as we recognize you.
We recognize that familiar place that you call unification
we refer to as dream time.
Ah, we are awake and in the dream at the same time.
That is correct.
We are consciously continuous.
The bardo surrounds us.
We are the bardo.
Within and without.
Being, just being. You're so beautiful. I love you.
Hello?
Row?
Row your boat.
I think he's coming back now, but we might hold out until after the break. So, any more questions? Is the entity Nob? Hang on, what's this? Is the entity Eric know of what the Black Space Program is currently up to? I tell you what they're up to. They're up to no bloody good. That's what they're up to. Whatever they're up to, it's not going to do anybody any good, is it?
Last night, I believe one of the ships came down. I forget where it was, but I saw that there was a blue light in the sky. It fell somewhere in America here. Yeah, like that.
It wasn't one of ours.
Well, that's good because
we
don't
broke it. Good...
It wasn't one of ours either.
Oh, I wonder whose it was. It doesn't matter.
Well, theirs, of course.
It's obviously theirs because they're not in the one continuum like we are.
Aye, that's true.
So, any more questions? Hang on, I have to have a look at the evolution radio. this is a machine that is doing this. Are you help? All right, this is Ray Road. All right, he's asking serious questions here. Are you here to help us to be a free world? I'm here to be free, to demonstrate what it is to be free, so you can recognize that you are one with me and that you are free with me. You understand? We are one. You are one. We are one together. That's it.
If elected mayor, my first act will be to kill the whole lot of you and burn your town to cinders.
Oh, that's not very nice. So, do the Eric's time travel. I told you before, we exist outside of your time-space gravitational matrix. We don't really care about time, because we can be anywhere, anywhen, at any point. We just need to desire it. As you are. You are the same. You are the same as we are. We are one. When you recognize you are one, you can do all these things. Yes.
We find that the humies make good probes. That's why I refer to as Avatar. It's kind of like a remote biolocation device in a biological shell.
We enjoy a little bit of avataring ourselves. Sometimes when the atmosphere is a little too thick, we send in one of our boys. We call them the boys. We send in one of our boys so we can have fun without having to endure the vicissitudes of the situation that you might find yourself in a horrible little third-dimensional planet such as this. Oops.
There's this strange, when you dial into both stations, you get this kind of strange feedback and it kind of builds up as a kind of like a wall of waterfall. So, good evening, gentlemen. Oh, Mr. Rowe, there you are. Hello, how are you?
Ah, there's the mute button.
Muted, there you were.
I'm good, and how are you?
Oh, I'm very good. Apparently you were just visited by an alien entity. Well,
that's okay, because we of the Rowe Continuum get a familiar voice, I think, from way back when, somewhere in time, space, that kind of thing.
Ray. No, Ray.
Buzz Mac, you all right?
Hello, Ray.
No, no, that's not Ray Rowe.
Oh, who is this?
This is Mr. Rowe.
Mr. Rowe.
Yeah, because there's Ray Rowe in Wolf Spirit Radio, and then this is Mr. Rowe from Mr. RHO, as in Rowe negative, and he's in the Revolution Radio Continuum, and he is his own continuum. He has a Rowe continuum, which explains our conversation earlier.
Oh, very good, very good.
Because we have a Mr. Rowe in the Wolf Spirit chat room. His name's Ray Rowe.
Okay.
Which, imagine, like, my name's Jeremy Perron, right? I can't say it. I can't say all those R's. And, like, to have someone called Ray Rowe, that's hard for me. Say Ray Rowe. So, anyway, bless your heart. So, anyway, meanwhile, that was a bit strange, but,
the other half of Team Strange.
That's right. Yeah, when I'm not producing, Strange Universe, Mr. Rowe is the alternative right of producers.
Yeah. It's kind of like, my other brother Daryl and, Larry. Oh, by the way, actually, it used to be Larry Daryl, and their parents thought that was too confusing, having two Larrys and Daryl, so they changed one of the Larrys to the name Daryl.
Well, now, didn't George Foreman name all of his kids George?
How many did he have? Four.
I think he named, didn't he name all George? George.
That would be something that somebody with a bit of a twisted mind would do. I mean, who would do that? Who would kind of person do that?
My question is, what were their middle names?
Unless he decided he was going to kill them or something. He was going to sacrifice them, so he's just going to call them George until they get sacrificed and then, you know.
Or you could, or spread them across the world, like George of South Asia.
Yeah.
Europe, George of America.
George of the Jungle or whatever.
There we go.
It happens. It happens.
George Washington, I don't know.
Yeah. George Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could have a George in every state. Actually, you know, George is a really, it's one of those names that, they call autopilots George, and they also call, the skeleton in a medical school. They also call that George as well. There's lots of things that are called George that are like an automated process. It's a funny thing. And George comes from the name of Jupiter. Jove. So
George, John, because they have like John Doe's. You know, and John's for hookers.
George and John.
Mm. Well, and then there's Paul and Ringo. You know, I was listening to Sir Fall today on a TV clip, and I was thinking, how the heck? Actually, I didn't think how the heck, but I can't say it on the radio. How the heck, I thought to myself, can he possibly go for somebody who grew up as a Scouser? He just doesn't sound like a Scouser. He just sounds like someone doing a Scouser's impression. And not even very good at that. So anyway, long story. The McCartney Continuum. I wonder how many clones of them, how many clones of Paul McCartney have tried to avatar out, but it just doesn't work. He won't go in. I'm not.
Yeah, what was the deal with Paul anyway? I never really got that anyway. Did he die or something?
Yeah, he was killed in an automobile accident after an argument. And, apparently somebody from either, I think it was MI6 or MI5, this guy named Maxwell, was involved in basically replacing him and keeping it secret. They thought that supposedly the story goes that it would induce such a depression, that it was a matter of national security to keep his death a secret because they were like fanatically loved by the youth. And so they had a contest to have a lookalike or an impersonator, and this guy, was he from Canada or America?
Yeah.
I don't know. He was
yeah,
from America.
Yeah, Bill Campbell.
Yeah, and this is Paul McCartney as you know him today. And he was actually, he's left-handed or right-handed, as opposed to left-handed. Yeah. That he's taller, It turns out that some people think he's actually a better musician.
You know, well, he but, can sing. He can get like a tone or two higher than Paul, James Paul. But the thing about Macca, you know, Paul, Sir Paul, that's what it's called, Fall, as they call him, fake Paul, is that, yes, he's a better musician as a player, but his composition is not very good.
I noticed the quality of Paul's stuff later after he split off the Beatles there.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing like.
Yeah. So here's Fall's signature is this dun 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 piano. It's called Pedestrian. It's a pedestrian beat. Dun 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 dun. And it's a plod beat, you know, just because it'll be different speeds. It'll be down, 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 but it'll still be that. And that became like the signature Beatles thing, but it really only came in, after the real Paul McCartney had died, because, before that, the bass lines, instead of going dum, 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 when he was playing the bass, he was it was melodic, it was mellifluous, right. It wasn't rhythmic, it was melodic,
right.
You see?
Right.
He let Ringo do all the rhythm stuff. That was another thing, is that his music, the Paul's musical style didn't quite fit in with the Beatles. As they were, so they had to change, and then they had to pretend to learn other instruments as like, where did that piano come from?
I always like that song.
Paperback writer. Now the paperback, here's the thing, here's a really good one. Here's a really esoteric, snippet, right? If you reverse the words Paul McCartney, you get this sound like it's Nyanachimo, Nyanachimo. And, if you look at the sleeve notes for this particular song, you'll see that the paperback writer letter is signed at the bottom, Nyanachimo.
They did a bunch of interesting little things like that. Supposedly they even had it.
Here's another clue for you all. The Warrels was Paul.
Well, they ran a lot of music backwards in their productions.
Yeah. Well, again, that was to basically disclose what was going on to the people without being able to break the Official Secrets Act rule, which they'd signed, which the penalty was death. And, you know, really, there's a lot of what Bowie called rock and roll suicides, which aren't really rock and roll suicides. I believe that Brian Epstein, Brian Jones, Jimi Hendrix, to name but a few, were actually murdered for, of course, John Lennon, and George Harrison, were actually murdered, by the MI5 because they broke the rule. Or they were about to break the rule. Jimi Hendrix was a good friend of Linda Eastman at the time, who became Linda McCartney. And, whole thing.
Jimi Hendrix might just be, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Might, yeah.
I'd like to see him play a guitar. Anyway.
he actually, you know what, JP, Morgan Freeman jams, if you look this up, I'll see if I can find it, he goes to some local places near his residence, like a blues club or something like that, and he jams on the guitar, and he's damn good too. I'll see if I can find something.
Is he left-handed though?
That I don't know.
Yeah,
look at Morgan Freeman, Jimi Hendrix, and look at the pictures, and you'll see, especially why the mustache, look at that area of the face, and you'll see what I mean. I know, it's
I know, but you know what, Team Strange, we contemplated a male first lady on Team Strange, so we can accept things like this. Now, I mean, it's very much common that, known that, for instance, Adolf Hitler had, the body doubles. And, we also know, that, Monty Field Marshal Montgomery had a body double because the guy who did it wrote a book. I was Monty's double and disclosed all this stuff. It obviously wasn't something that stopped then. They do it and they probably had it for years. There's probably, even Napoleon probably had body doubles. You know, you can bet your bottom dollar that the Roman Caesars had them because they had lots of enemies. So when it comes to the idea that our people's president, as it were, Donald himself, Trump, actually is two people, one with a blue tie, one with a red tie, and perhaps there are more clones who have got hybrids that with the stripes as well.
Maybe gold tie Trump is actually the real Templar, Knights Templar Trump, and then the blue tie and the red tie are his clones, kind of like the Right Reverend Dr. Rowe has Rowe clone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and on and on.
A sort of umbrella group, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, Donald Trump being worth a lot of money and being who he is and involved with what he's involved in would certainly have the black resources, and I mean that, you know, covert resources that we don't have, the advanced technology, to not only surround himself with the best of, you know, protection, but have multiple sophisticated robotic artificial intelligence body doubles or even hybrids. So, I mean, they could be clones, they could be, you know, normal humans that just, you know, look a lot like him, or there's a lot of, or there could be a combination.
Could be so twin brothers.
There you go. He could actually be, yeah, that's something a lot
could
of
could be half sisters, you don't know.
You never know these days. They could be a pair of Jenners.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, there's a video going around about, YouTube, about CNN. And it says that most of the news people are fake people. And what they mean by that is that this person is postulating that about 90% of all of the news men and women that we see on CNN, including Wolf Blitzer and, you know, the famous ones, are actually trans. They're flipped. They used to be men used to be women or girls. There's actually a photo of Wolf Blitzer as a little girl when he was younger, and it's actually on CNN. You look at it and you go, that does look like a little girl. And, you know, it's pretty crazy. Well, yeah. So anyway.
So, yeah. So, okay, so Wolf Blitz is a woman, right? Okay. So the idea of a replacement Paul McCartney. Look, now, if you use your eyes, people, just use your eyeballs, these things that were provided by the universe for your brain to look out from, right? And just look at the two Beatles albums, the red one and the blue one that had their singles in, right? And, it's the same building. It's the same John and George and Ringo. And who the heck is that? Oh, well, that's got to be Paul. And that's basically the cognitive dissonance in a small nutshell. Go ahead.
I just wanted to congratulate Tremjar on a badass chat icon. Tremjar, your icon for chat, it's you, brother. Badass. Very approved.
I can't see the icon. I've only got Merc, which doesn't display people's, doesn't people.
Oh, basically it's a black skull.
It's a black skull. Great. Very good. So meanwhile, we were talking about so there was the McCartney. Now, if you look at Paul McCartney, and you can see, that pre-1966, Paul McCartney had a very low brow, and post-1966, he had a very high brow, you know, the gap between his eyebrows and his hairline, was much, shorter, and, you know, James Paul McCartney, the real Paul McCartney, has a sort of rounder, around a flatter hair, you know, his forehead goes back really quick, very short, and then it's in the hair and down again. And the other guy's got this really long head, and he's like, you know, like, a lurch-like, forehead. In fact, you know, there's all these, lyrics that go, oh boy, you've been a naughty girl, you let your face grow long. Which I believe is a reference to Fall, not being the walrus, being, you know, being replacement. So
all right. Around that time that Paul died, did the hair all of a sudden get longer and longer, and the kind of change of character go into place at that time?
Yeah, this is where the beards grew, and the hair grew longer, and the parting on the left became a parting on the right, and beards have all grown longer overnight. You see? So that's demonstrating that the guys in The Who, the Pete Townsend, knew what was going on. That was an indication. You know? Won't get fooled again. Who are you? Who the hell are you? Yeah.
We won't get fooled again.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're right. He was a better musician in that he was a more accomplished pianist, and but he didn't have a heart. And, you know, that's why Beatles music went weird rather than better. It went weird.
You know, there's something you're talking about how, the differences in how they were different, they changed. And something that I think that's changed is I think people have changed. I think that back then people were more aware and more smarter, and I think the people have really changed now. And just like that bumper, you hear like on the hour, every hour, you know, from Meteorocracy, the people have come way dumber now because, you know, they had to be craftier back then, you know, because they had to get Paul to be very similar, but, you know, a little different, but very similar. But look how stupid people have become because they can watch a television and watch a reporter saying, hey, this building is falling down and it's still standing behind her, you know. So really, the people have changed dramatically. People, just like that Idiocracy movie, people are becoming really freaking stupid. Over. We don't get fooled again.
Oh, that was close.
Well, there we go. That was him leaving. So. Yeah, this is Sound Effect Wars. FX Wars on Revolution Radio.
Back we'd have studio people doing sound effects, like all kinds of different things, like guy in the storm, and before the age of computer. I mean, it would take people, production to do all that. You'd actually have a real guy with drums, like in 1950s. The guy behind there, all padooch. He'd actually, we're doing the show in our underwear. I mean, we don't even have to leave our houses
Exactly. I actually have a friend of mine who's a drummer. And part of his, you know, learning the rote was to be a magician's drummer, doing exactly as you say, all of that stuff, and doing, because a lot of it is to do with the music and the timing. Practicing.
Well, JP, it's almost your show. I just want to say thank you for allowing me to come on here and blah blah blah.
Well, I'd like to say on behalf of myself and
on behalf of the Eric Continuum, I'd like to thank you everybody for journeying with me and JP, because he's I'm sitting on his face. He can't hear him because he's like muffled. Anyway, so thank you very much everybody who's been in the Studio A, Studio B, Wolf Spirit Radio. We love you all because we're all one. Understand that we are all one, and that any differences are entirely on the outside. Thank you, brothers and sisters. It's been a very beautiful time.
Ciao, ciao.